backlash has been fierce already, but where I think the backlash will be even more fierce is in 2017 when they negotiate the new CBA. Remember what happened when the big three got together in ownership? They got pissed off, all the owners, and they renegotiated the CBA and tried to throw in new wrinkles to make sure that couldn't happen again.
Locked out the league, too.
Don't be surprised if it happens again.
Everybody here doesn't know each other. I feel like I almost walked into somebody's like somebody's house party or something like that.
Happy July 4, everyone, or should I say happy Kevin Durant Day to the Golden State Warriors. I'm kind of upset. I'm not going to lie to you, DeMar. Is this good for the league? Because I feel like it's kind of bad for the league. Give me your thoughts on KD joining the trio in Golden State and literally just selling his soul for a title.
Oh man, selling his soul for the title. That's a little bit harsh, don't you think?
I think it's a little bit harsh, but initial reaction when I read the Players Tribune article, I got through it, and like after the first two sentences, I go, holy crow, he is going to Golden State. Right. And then I get further in, and then by the second graph, I'm like, great.
If it's good for the NBA, I don't know if it's really... It's not really good for the NBA. It depends on your perspective. If you're in Seattle, this is great for the NBA.
That is true, because Oklahoma City, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts there now in terms of Russell Westbrook and what happens with the franchise of what direction are they going next. But I think in the immediate future, when you look at this in the whole grand scheme of things with the NBA, this is easily one of the most important moments in NBA history today. I mean, you got Michael Jordan's retirement. You have Magic Johnson's announcement of HIV/AIDS. You have LeBron's the decision, and then, as we know it now, the return. And now you have Kevin Durant's, I guess we could call this the July 4 decision. Like, the time he went west is pretty much it. And it's big. This is huge. I've never seen a player in any sport that was a free agent with this much power in the league. He can literally change any franchise by signing with them. Go to one that already had 73 wins last year. Like, he went to the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, he did. It's easy to it would be harder for him to sell himself to, like, the team that won 73 games and then won the championship. Like, to think to himself, like, I'm going to go there and help them because they need somebody to get over the hump. Harder to do that if they had won the championship. But they lost, you know? So, for him, I think it's kind of like an easy decision. It's just like, what's the best way for me to win? Just go to the Warriors. And they're paying him basically the same money that the Thunder would pay him in the long run. So,
if he stays.
Yeah, if he stays. Another wrinkle.
That's the biggest wrinkle in all this, in my opinion, is if he stays. And the reason why I say that is because all year, Kevin Durant has kind of hinted throughout his press conferences and the way he's treated the media, and I guess his temperament has changed towards his perception, the way people view him. Is he's always been about, I don't care what people think about me. His whole, when he started swearing at them, to be honest, people were like, whoa, Kevin Durant? This is the guy with the business tattoos and the friendly Foot Locker commercials, and wait a minute, he has this kill switch off the court too? And it's like, yeah, he does. So he's kind of been hinting at, he's going to do what's best for him, he's going to get titles, and I really think you might see Kevin Durant, the NBA mercenary, where he might just chase titles literally for a while here and just bounce around teams and max out his salary.
That's an idea that I think has been thrown around on the internet for a little bit, especially NBA Reddit.
Yeah, NBA Reddit's been all about that for
a while. They've been thinking about, what if usually talk about with LeBron, where,
he was the first.
Sign one-year contracts and, the 76ers just to see how far they can actually go with LeBron on the team. But now,
I don't think you go to, a 76ers, though. I'm talking, going to teams that are literally one player away.
Yeah.
And just winning a title.
Yeah, that would be an excellent story as a player,
Like John Wayne of the NBA.
Yeah.
Just literally goes around and just wins titles.
That'd be really cool to, he would almost have his own following as, everybody has their fans, but, he would kind of have this weird, exterior following from the NBA where it's just like, this one guy is so good that he's just bringing every team he goes to the finals and probably winning a championship.
Which I think would fit well with the way the NBA markets the player and not the team. So he would literally be the ideal NBA player, in my opinion, by doing that. Because they do market the player instead of the team. That's evident throughout everything they do. I mean, sure, you can say people love Golden State, but they love the players on Golden State. It's like you don't mention Festus Ezeli and like the other role players and guys that chip in. You mentioned the Steph Currys, the Klay Thompsons. It's like Cleveland, LeBron James, like everybody that I know that is an NBA fan, a casual or general NBA fan, will cite a player first before a team. They'll say they like a team because of a player. Whereas in other sports like football or hockey, I feel like fandom is a little bit more intense, where they're just more geared towards like, I love the team, that's my team. I guess the loyalty is more there. Whereas in the NBA, it's kind of like, aside from the historic franchises like the Lakers and the Celtics, it's the player instead of the team.
It's because the NBA is more of a worldwide sport than any other, like, of the big four. So, like, in hockey, it's kind of where, you know, it's huge in Canada, but that's just, like, Canada, right? So, you know, people would cheer for, like, the Canadians or the Leafs because they have these, like, storied histories. But in the NBA, like, you have people from, like, all over the country, all over the world playing there. So you can kind of, like, if you're from Argentina, you're just, like, you always cheer for, like, a specific set of players, you know? And if you're from, Russia or something, you'd cheer for a specific set of players. So I guess it makes more sense to just market the team, or market the players instead of the team. But love the players.
I could buy that, especially like what you just said with it being a global game. I mean, you look at a guy like Yao Ming when he came over. Jeez, like,
yeah.
The guy was in the All-Star game every year, not because of players here, or sorry, fans here voting him in. It's because the whole country voted him in.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the whole reason why the Houston Rockets uniform design is that way is because it was to attract like a Chinese audience when Yao Ming was drafted to the team. Yeah.
Okay. To kind of like segue back to Kevin Durant and the Warriors here, who's going to be a bigger villain? When the Miami Heat got together for the Big Three, or this core four now with the Golden State Warriors?
It's you know, for me, it's really like, it's hard to cheer against them because I just think this is like one of the coolest things that have ever happened in the NBA, where it's just like these two like transcendent players are just like, one has finally just met the other. It's like almost like two stars meeting each other in space, and you're just like, oh, what's gonna happen? No, I just love the concept. So I can't really even think of them as a villain team. They're just like a novelty to me right now.
Oh, they're a villain team, dude. Now they're a villain team to like the general fan base. There's no question about that in my opinion, because people are gonna look at Durant as a sellout now. They're gonna view as like, he decided to take the title instead of being competitive and trying to beat these guys. You know, you can't beat them, join them. Every cliche. I mean, just look at Twitter today, for example. People were crucifying him, and look at even the memes that have come out. Like, you got people going back to Fresh Prince, and when Will's dad leaves,
why don't he want
back,
me, man?
Like, yeah. Why don't you want me? And they're like, they got the Thunder and Durant there. Like, the backlash has been fierce already, but where I think the backlash will be even more fierce is in 2017 when they negotiate the new CBA. Mm-hmm. You remember what happened when the Big Three got together in ownership? They got pissed off, all the owners, and they renegotiated the CBA and tried to throw in new wrinkles to make sure that couldn't happen again.
Locked out the league, too.
Don't be surprised if it happens again. I can honestly see that happening again, just because trying to offset things like this is going to be very difficult, especially with the Warriors owner being so influential in the league. I mean, he's a progressive thinker. He's got deep, deep, deep pockets, and he's got a lot of influence around other owners. And the TV deal that they got is partly because of the success Golden State's had recently, right?
Right.
And partly because of the West Coast growing, truthfully, in ratings outside the Lakers. So that's helped immensely for them. But if you're another owner now, you don't want to feel like you have nothing to play for. And quite frankly, you can make an argument right now that look at the 28 other teams outside of the Cavs and the Warriors. What are they playing for this year?
Yeah, that's the penalty of being light years ahead, man. Everybody starts to hate on the team. I can't, you know, the other 28 teams, you know, you just have to get good, bro. I hate to say
I share that.
I hate to bring in, like, a meme to describe it, but you just have to, like, you have to be better, dude. You just have to draft better. You know, the Warriors are, apart from Kevin Durant, was like a homegrown team. The only player they really brought in was Andrew Bogut, and that's when after he broke, like he destroyed his arm and his elbow. Sean Livingston was brought in after his, you know, horrific knee incident. The only player that like really they went out to get just because we need this piece is Andre Iguodala. Everything else is like homegrown.
That's a really good point. I'll respect that a lot with the Warriors. Is you kind of look at their timeline here where people forget when Baron Davis and those guys and the Oracle was kind of like this folklore arena where it's like, oh, it's so loud, it's so tough to play in. I mean, imagine if they were ever good and then they were the number 8 seed that year and they knocked off the Mavs. And it just became like, well, this gigantic what if? What if this team was ever good? And then they started drafting good, and now they're this. They're this borderline juggernaut, or as you like to say, which said off the air, potentially an empire, yeah. Not just a dynasty.
an empire. You know, who is stopping them, really? Like, I'm just like, we were talking about how, okay, let's just, the basketball aspect of the team is like, I was thinking, everybody's thinking about, you know, the Kevin Durant, the Steph Curry ball handler, and then Kevin Durant roller, you know, in the pick and roll, or they'll do like Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. I was thinking about doing the LeBron James inverse, where you do the pick and roll where Steph Curry is the roller, and you just have Kevin Durant doing all the action with the ball. If they switch, he has a post-up advantage over the point guard, or he could just take them off the dribble. Like, Steph Curry pops out for three, he just... Anybody can be open for anything. There's so many options that come out of that one reverse action that LeBron James has been using. I think it's just even more lethal now with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry instead of LeBron James and Kyrie Irving or Dellavedova.
It's the most lethal switch team that we've ever seen. And last year when we watched Warriors play, a lot of times you'd be like, this team is switch-proof. Mm. There's nothing you can do to kind of undercut what they do in screen and roll action. Well, what the hell are you going to do now?
Yeah.
Their spacing was already... quite frankly, the best I've ever seen since the Spurs. When the Spurs had that magic run where they just annihilated the Heat, that was some of the best spacing basketball I've ever seen in my life.
The ball just seemed to float in midair and people just exchanged, you know.
Yeah. It's like, here, you get a touch. No, you get a touch. I can lay this in now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, lay it in. It was crazy the way they moved the ball. I do think it'll take them a little bit of time to get together. Like the Warriors, it's going to – you look at all the great teams over the years – the big three in Miami took a little while to get going. Even like the 04 Lakers, that took a little while to get going. You can go back in time and look at teams where when they come together for the first year or even the first couple of months, it's a bit of a struggle just to get used to playing with each other because nobody's played with a player like Durant. Like, this is a guy who can take over any game. There isn't a shot he can't make. There isn't a thing he can't do. I mean, he was over 60% in post-up situations last year. That tells you how well his game has evolved.
Yeah, you know,
and his defense, like we saw in the Western Conference Finals, that part's evolved too. So,
you know, this actually fits an offensive need that the Warriors have had for the past 2 years. Just kind of weird to think about for such a great team is if Steph Curry is not on the floor, you know, they're usually one of the worst teams in the NBA. But it's because they can't run a pick and roll. Like nobody else can run the pick and roll when he's not on the floor. Now they have that guy, you know. They have Kevin Durant who can also run the pick and roll while he's on the floor.
And what I find fascinating about that with the pick and roll is when Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant run that in Oklahoma City, you could kind of get away with, you know, cheating on Durant because Westbrook wasn't the greatest jump shooter. Like, you're okay letting him take a long two or even a three. Now you're not okay doing that. You cannot cheat anymore. So Durant's going to get you. Are you going to give a clean look to Durant or are you going to let the guy with the ball hand, like whoever has the action, kind of dictate what decision to make, which could be somebody cutting in off of an open look, probably another open three. And I keep saying open because
going to
there's
be
no
open.
Way you can defend this team. Yes. Yeah, everything's going to be open.
And you have to switch that action. But if you do switch that action, like, you know, Kevin Durant has a smaller person on him and he'll just shoot. Like, I like that he has the Dirk fadeaway in his repertoire now. So now he just shoots that over you and he's already 7 foot tall. He says he's 6'9", and 2K says he's 6'10". We all know he's 7 foot tall because I've seen pictures, man.
No matter what, you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
Defending this team, you are vulnerable.
And there's no way, like, somebody that's smaller is going to be able to guard Kevin Durant in any way.
Hell no. He'll just back him down if he really needed to, or he'll just one dribble them. He can't do, like, his 5 seconds with the ball jab step anymore that we became accustomed to seeing in Oklahoma City. But who cares? That ball's going to move so quick and get in his hands and open looks that I think even he's going to be surprised.
He's not even going to need to jab step anymore. Like, he'll just get the ball. Like, he's going to have the chance to just get the ball and go now. You know, he doesn't get the ball, size up. Right? Where's my advantage? Like, he doesn't have to do that. He's like, get the ball. Okay. Like, just read and react. That's what the Warriors do, and he's going to get to be able to do that. And that's going to be, you know, as a defense, when he slows down to do those jab steps, you can, like, kind of set the defense and prepare for his attack. He won't be able to do that anymore.
Well, I think with all of that there is a side anecdote that is seldom talked about yet, but it will be talked about more, especially with the hardcore NBA fans. The death lineup's dead. It's evolved. It's a bigger lineup now. It needs a new name. We can't call it the death lineup anymore. This is way bigger than the death lineup.
We're going to... You know what? It's a bit, people have been struggling to come up with the name, and I'm gonna name it the nuclear lineup. They're going nuclear. This is the nuclear lineup.
What is this, Chernobyl?
It's gonna be
Like,
worse, bro. This is crazy. Like that lineup where Draymond Green, does Draymond Green even play the, I'm assuming he plays the five in that role.
I think they just disrespect teams and play small.
Right, but if they play that Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Iguodala, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry,
Curry.
you can't shoot at the rim against that team because they have Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is actually like a good rim protector, and we got to see that
Yeah, he's really
in the
improved.
conference finals, right? So he's actually like, he's 7 foot tall with long arms.
Well, hey, they got the rim protector off the bench now. They signed him for a 2.3 get your ring deal.
Yo, Zaza,
Zaza Pachulia.
Zaza, nothing
So they're
easy.
good.
Nothing
Nothing
easy.
easy. He is a workhorse, that guy.
His life is gonna be so easy. Like I'm just thinking about the team, and the life's gonna be so easy. Everything's gonna come to them so easy on this team now. Like there's no weaknesses, man. I can't even think of weakness for the team right now.
You can't bang them in the paint because if they start hitting threes on you on the other end, for every 1-2 you make, it's just going to take them 1-3.
It's amazing. I'm so enamored by the team. I'm going to be following this team, from the very first game, probably even the preseason. I'll be watching Raptors games, and I'll be watching the Warriors right after, just to see what happens, man. I'm
Oh yeah, I'll be staying up late a lot this upcoming season to watch
so
them play.
fascinated. I remember when they were on that winning streak at the beginning of the season last year, where they went like I think it was 22 or 21 in a row. I was like watching. I pretty much was watching every game, and like now it's just like the entire season. I'm just gonna be watching them. There's no reason not to if you're a basketball fan.
They're kind of like when Miami got together. I hate to keep going back to that parallel,
They're
but
better than Miami.
no, I know they're better, but I'm saying in terms of the storyline where when the big three got together, you had to watch them play.
Yeah.
Because especially when they started losing, you were like, yes, people were so happy.
Those D Wade to LeBron James alley-oops.
I'll miss those.
Yo, I love those. Sometimes I
Those
watch.
are some of my favorite plays,
Yeah,
man.
sometimes I'll rewatch them.
Watching them like strut back down the court to Miami, it was just like, ooh, LeBron's having fun.
Now we're gonna be like, oh crossover. We're gonna be like, oh crossover, step back, pump fake, dish to Kevin Durant, fade away three, splash.
Oof. Pass it to Curry at half court and let him shoot it
That's
from
a
there just because they want
yo.
style points.
Oh my. I can't wait. You know what? If I'm like Steph Curry, I'm probably working on my range more than like accuracy around the line. I'm probably trying to figure out ways to shoot it from even deeper, just to devastate teams,
Okay,
It's already.
when you talk of devastation though, like how much? What's the biggest blowout win they have this year? I feel like they could house a team by 60.
Yeah, absolutely. This team could probably like set the points record. I don't know what it is. I think it's like 100 and I would like to think it's like 146 points. I remember there was like a Denver versus New, let's say New York. Like both teams scored like 146 points in like a triple overtime game.
Oh,
It's
they could crush that. They could put 40 a quarter up if they
yo,
wanted
oh
to.
my goodness, dude,
If they play these
I'm
guys.
so excited.
When you look at the team long term, though, how do they sustain this and keep these players together? I mean,
They don't.
the cap's going up, so they can. You don't think they can? I mean, they got Klay Thompson on a relatively friendly deal. Draymond there as well. Steph Curry and Durant are obviously the big two here. They gotta re-up them both. They can pay Durant next year, basically the max of whatever he wants, and then Curry will have to work around that.
Right.
And they're just going to go thin with four superstars,
Right,
which,
exactly.
like most dynasty teams, though, you look at it, they're always like, they're really thin, they're top heavy, and they just fill in the pieces from there.
Hey, people are gonna wanna
So.
come and play for the team, man. Like
Oh, and a discount now, too.
if you just shoot the ball, there's n like of course I wanna play with the Warriors and just get open threes all the time. Yeah. Why wouldn't I? All they need for this team at this point is just like dudes that shoot and dudes that can rebound. And that's it.
And dudes that can play regular season games and they don't want to play.
Yeah, like Ian Clark, if he came back, he would be so happy on this team.
Yeah, he would be actually. Like Kevin Looney,
Yeah.
he's gonna get some playing time. He'll get some serious burn this year. McAdoo, like they're gonna start playing guys that they just, may not have played during the regular season this past year, but they're going to now because they're just like, oh, we can stick our big
They need
guys in there
them.
at any
They kind of
time.
need them, though. They need them to actually start developing, because, you know, you can live on veteran minimum guys for a while, but
yep.
you need to develop. The thing that killed the Heat was they had veteran minimum guys, and that's all they had. Like, they weren't, they didn't have anybody being drafted and being developed on the back end.
Golden State's, that's where I think they're very, very good, is drafting young talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's something they watched in Miami, and they were like, hey, we can't make that mistake. Because this is a very innovative team,
yeah.
right? I don't think they're just going to go around and sign old dudes and hope for the best. I feel like they're going to get young legs and be like, listen, you're going to play a lot of minutes here in the regular season and just chip in if we need you in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If anybody of this core four was to get hurt, though, who's the one player they can't live without?
I honestly think it's Draymond Green. Like, Draymond Green is going to be the lubricant for the entire team.
Me too.
Because, you know, he's the passer on the team. You know, he's the playmaker for the team. Like, Steph Curry, I guess he does that, but it's not his primary offensive duty. You know, he's just there. He's like, I want to shoot threes. I want to do these.
He's
shoot hot.
He's also the number one recruiter of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
I was reading today that apparently after the Thunder, you know, blew that 3-1 lead, Draymond went up to Durant and told him, we still need you.
Mm-hmm.
So he has never stopped recruiting him all season, which has got to say volumes about his character and his leadership, which we already knew, but just to kind of reiterate the fact of how important he is on more than just the court.
He's a new Chandler Parsons.
He's not respect him with Chandler Parsons. Chandler Parsons.
He's just new and better. He's better than ever. Chandler Parsons.
If you want to draw like something from Chandler Parsons, he went to Florida. Billy Donovan was a coach of Florida, the University of Florida, for years. He never really had one-and-done players. He had guys come back. Well, hey, Billy, your first NBA season, you have your first one-and-done player.
Wow.
So that'll be for all my college fans out there.
Great snipe.
You never had many at Florida, man. He never had many.
Oh,
because he had guys come back, like the Noah Horfords. They all came back. And now your one-and-done is the biggest guy you ever had.
Yeah, man. If okay, you know, for OKC, like if I'm Billy Donovan, I'm pissed, bro, because he – I'm assuming that they brought him on and be like, yeah, we're going to re-sign Kevin Durant, and we're going to re-sign Westbrook, and we're going to have all this young talent on the team, and you just need to make it work. You know, you have to get it to coalesce. But now he's just like, everything is falling off the team, or is going to fall off the team.
And he kind of did make it work. They were up 3-1 on the Warriors. They're a couple jump shots away from being in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, his implementation of the two big men did wonders in the postseason. And then going back and watching some of those Warriors-Thunder game where it's just like, what the hell happened in game 5, 6, 7?
Mm.
I still can't put my finger to it exactly where it's just things got south in a hurry.
It's a make-or-miss league, and then the Warriors were making them. They were just like nailing those threes. Man. I mean, Klay Thompson was brilliant. Klay Thompson in, what was it, the third quarter in game 6 where he's just like, I cannot lose.
That's basically, and he couldn't miss.
Yeah, he just cannot. I cannot miss, and I will not lose. That's the reason why they even made it to the finals, man. It's, you know, I feel bad for the Thunder. I feel bad for the Thunder, but I don't feel bad for the Thunder because the owner stole the franchise from Seattle. And I'll never forgive him for that. but I feel bad because, you know, I like the Thunder fans. Whenever, you know, if you watch the playoffs, the Thunder fans are like, almost like Canadian fans. So, like, if...
It's college town.
Yeah, like, if anything good happens, you know, like, they hustle for the ball, like, the entire arena is roaring, you know, like, offensive rebounds. We're talking about offensive rebounds, man, and they're just, like, roaring. It's like they can't believe that this is happening for their team. And now they're going to be like, I can't believe this is happening to my team, and Kevin Durant is no longer there.
This is not the first time in American history where somebody has gone west for more success. I'll just leave it at that.
Yo, California seems to just steal talent from all over the planet.
Which is a bit surprising because the taxes and everything is so high there. If you were to make a super team, LeBron had the right idea going to Miami. The state of Florida, there's no state tax. That's why I'm surprised Mark Cuban's had such a hard time being able to get guys to come together and play in Dallas. No state tax. Like, I just don't understand why states with no state tax can't lure players there and kind of take advantage of the financial aspect that they have where it's an advantage for them. And in California, you're getting taxed like almost as much as here in Ontario. It's a lot of money.
It's like, you know, on the Mavs, I don't want to play around Dirk Nowitzki, man. He's still trying to build a team around Dirk. Why?
You think that's his downfall, eh?
Yeah, because Dirk, again, I've
He's
mentioned
old,
he's
man.
Frankenstein basically on the court, dude.
Yeah.
He's marching up and down. It looks like he has lead in his boot in his shoes, and the only his saving grace is his shot. But he's not the only four that can shoot the ball now.
This is true.
I
I'm
know,
not
I
gonna. I'm
know.
not gonna argue against it. I'm more surprised that they haven't been able to revamp it.
Yeah, I don't. They just need him to retire because as long as he has doesn't retire, they're continuing to try to build a playoff or championship team around him, and it's just not happening.
Well, they don't just need him to retire. They need him to retire, and they need to tank
And this is
to
the
get
perfect.
like a
This is
player to
actually
build
the
around.
perfect opportunity for them to do so. They're
Yeah,
not,
because this draft is shaping up pretty well at the top
and
half.
they're not getting anybody in free agency right now. So this is yeah, Dirk. We're gonna give you part of the franchise. Just go home.
They haven't got anybody in free agency since DeAndre Jordan scoring them. They had DeAndre Jordan for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They haven't been able to draw anybody there. I don't get
Yeah,
it.
they're just like the Raptors
Yeah. But I feel like the Raptors are a bit different, man. They don't have any cap space. Like, we knew to expect this. And people that didn't and that are criticizing management and saying, oh, they screwed themselves, like, by saying they're available to go and pursue Pau Gasol, that shows they can make a move and they can get money. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. It just shows that they're willing to take on the risk and
now.
basically say, we feel like we can get the cap space by the deadline.
Why do they? Can somebody explain to me why we want Pau Gasol, or why the fan base thinks we want Pau Gasol?
The fan base is very short-sighted.
Because
I don't
yeah,
have a good reason.
I don't
They
really.
think they see Powell and they're like, oh, he was nasty with the Lakers. He had some good games last year, but he doesn't like he fits what the Raptors do. But are you is he really enough to help you beat the Cavs now?
No.
Probably not. So how does he help?
I don't get it.
They gotta think long term.
Yes, I was even, I'm reading about just a bunch of things about the Raptors trying to pursue Pau Gasol. I'm just like this, the late 30-year-old man that doesn't like to play defense and moves very slowly. I just don't really understand the rationale behind it. But luckily, we did not get him. The Spurs did.
Well, the hot report tonight is that they're in pursuit of Dwayne Dedman, so that might be their new backup center.
Yay.
Yay! Well, no, he's had some good nights on DraftKings for me. I've picked him when he had to start for Vucevic back in his Orlando days, so I'll give a yay. I mean,
Okay.
he's a big physical guy, rebounds. He's a more burly J.J. Hickson.
Okay. I mean, JJ Hickson, you're not really stirring my desires right now.
Well, for $6 million, what do you want me to do here? Like,
That's
I can barely buy you dinner with that
true.
money in the NBA. League min's $10 million now. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's
we went
crazy.
through this. It's insane.
All right.
Talking a bit about the home front though. Nike Crown League. We went to that last Friday. What are your thoughts on that? That was your first time going. I went last year. I thought the event was a bit better this year. I enjoyed Jarvis Collegiate more as a venue. This venue is aesthetically more appealing in my opinion.
Beautiful court.
Yeah,
Beautiful
very
court.
nice.
It's all white. Well, if like the base coat is white, and then they have the key is black, and it also has like the blue CN Tower inside of it, like the skyline.
Yeah,
Then,
both ends of the floor have that.
yeah, and then all the outlining of everything. So the outlining of the 3-point line and the half court line, it's all gold, and it has the Nike Crown League symbol inside in the middle. It looks beautiful, man.
And they got a pair of Maple Leafs on mid court there. There's two Leafs there. It
Yeah,
looks really nice,
yeah.
gold.
I love the way it
What
looks.
did you think about the event though?
It's really cool, man. I've never been to a pro-am before, any sort of summer league. So when I went there, I didn't really know what to expect. I saw a lot of people, greeting each other. I'm just like, does everybody here doesn't know each other? I feel like I almost walked into somebody's house party or something like that.
That's a good point.
The music is blasting. I got people yelling over the speakers, and it's like everybody's like, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" Yeah, I'm like, "I'm supposed to go upstairs." That's pretty.
Let's spoil all that. I mean, your article's coming out tomorrow about all that, so that'll be something for people to read.
Yeah, man, it was great though. It was great. It was great to meet, Akil, and it was great to meet Dwayne, to see what's actually going on behind the scenes, influences and stuff like that for players that are actually playing in the league.
It's too bad they couldn't give more information, but I mean, they did say there was some players coming and kind of hint, hint, wink, wink, like stay tuned. So I'd say take that for what it's worth. But if last year was any indication, once the Pan Am Games finished, you started seeing more guys come out, and even guys that weren't playing for Canada would slowly come out as the weeks progressed. I'd expect more of the same this year, especially if Canada has an early exit in Olympic qualifiers. I don't think they will, but it's only 2 weeks. But I'd say weeks 4 to 6 of the Crown League, you'll see some pretty big names show
Yeah, it's
up.
gonna be hot then. That's when a lot of people are gonna be showing up.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, maybe you'll get some more local guys. Like, we saw Bruno this week. What were your thoughts on Bruno, actually?
Oh, man, dude, he is not selling me at all on his talent. He like rarely plays in the NBA, and then you see him in the 905, and he's not like lighting it up there. Seeing him in the summer league, and he's just like not really doing anything. I'm assuming it's because his Crown League is a summer league, so he's not like going at full tilt. But bro, I'm not.
He kind of looks aloof,
Yeah,
man.
he's.
At times, like, he looks nonchalant, very like, yeah, I'm here.
Seen zero flashes from him. I think he dunked it once, and it wasn't even that impressive of a dunk. It was two-footed.
This is a little two-hand
Yeah.
flush, sorry.
Yeah.
He does have a smooth touch, though. I mean, his jump shot, his little fadeaway there here on the baseline, couple three balls. Like, his form looks good, and his touch is just, it's improved a lot compared to what he was when he first got here.
What do you think they're trying to turn him into at this point?
D and three, 100%. It's got to be D and three. I mean, the amount of jump shots that he's been selling for, not just at like the Crown League, but throughout his time in the 905, he just screams D and three player to me. Where he's got the length, so you know you can get, he can kind of guard like a wing or like a hybrid four, or if you need him to take down a big guard, he can do all those three things for you, and then just shoot threes.
Okay. I mean, spending like 4 years to develop that dude, I don't know about that, dude.
So I feel like that they tried to develop him into this superstar, and it failed. And they were like, "Okay, what kind of value can we extract from this guy?"
Okay.
So I think their last resort is this 3-and-D player, and now we're seeing it.
Right. So what that means to me is that he didn't have the ball handling capability to actually expand upon being a 3-and-D player.
He's got those Kevin McHale arms, but I mean, he can tie his shoes standing up.
Oh,
So
you stole my. Oh, man. Stealing
saw that
anecdotes.
punchline.
I told you about that at Crown League, and you hear stealing it on the podcast. I see you.
Well, you jumped down my throat before I could hat tip you, so.
But yeah, I'm not astonished by him, man. He's looking. He's not looking. He's look. He looks all right. He doesn't look great, which is kind of sad because 2 years away from being 2 years away, I was like, okay, we're talking about superstar potential type stuff here. No.
Well, when you consider the Raptors' cap situation too, and their roster construction, they need guys like him to
Yeah.
eventually pan
Yeah,
out.
exactly, dude. So.
Because if they don't, it's really going to hurt their long-term development. Not just as a player for Bruno, I'm talking about as a team here.
Yeah. This is why we advocated for the step back, but they will not do that.
They might be forced to after next year.
Yeah, dude, they're gonna be wor they're probably going to be a worse team this year than they are last year.
Well, especially because a lot of teams in the East improved too.
Yeah, the Celtics are catching up, probably surpass the Raptors. I don't know. That battle for that 2-3 seed is going to be very, very, very interesting.
And in the back corner, what you hear right now is screaming Knicks fans saying, "Watch out for us as well." Derrick Rose, the zinger, Carmelo, we're
I
back.
love Porzingis, but I don't know if that's happening, man.
It's not. They're the Knicks.
Oh, man, dude, the Knicks are just why, man? The best thing about being a large market is just being able to attract free agents as they're doing, this year. But
Yeah, I mean, Joakim Noah's great free agent signing.
they're doing it the wrong
Back in
way.
2003.
If you're a large market, what you should actually do is do what the Warriors did, right? Which is, easy for anybody to say. Just I'd be like, yeah, dude, just be the Warriors. But like, you're trying to develop talent, like build your own talent, and then use, the big city to attract smaller players. Because big players like Kevin Durant, for example, he doesn't care about going to the Knicks because they suck. But
Yeah.
if you drafted that player to your team, he's already there. So it's much easier to get people like, Sean Livingston on your team, or like Bruno, or not Bruno, or maybe even Bruno, but But it's easy to get, like, somebody like Biyombo to your team because, like, flashing lights are there, and plus we already have the superstar.
And if you're a superstar right now in the NBA, why in the hell am I going to go to a team that is going to take 3 years to get in title contention? I'm a win now guy. That's 3 years off my contract and my entire career that I'm not going to get back.
Yeah, I'm just chilling here doing, like, you're just running idle, basically.
I'm doing the heavy lifting for a bad team.
Yeah, what's the,
no thanks.
The point? And plus when you are a superstar on a bad team.
You're DeMarcus Cousins.
You're DeMarcus Cousins, but you also take your team out of being in the position to draft even more valuable pieces. So,
and the Knicks don't have any draft picks, so this is great.
The Knicks, man.
One of the biggest messes in sports.
Right, but yeah.
Like recent sports history.
Back to Kevin Durant. I'm just happy that he actually made a decision to go to a good team. You know, instead of fulfilling the fanciful Lakers / Knicks ideals of just going to a big market.
I never took that serious. I honestly thought he was going to take the 1-1 and not what he did the 1-1 in Golden State, the 1-1 in Oklahoma City. One more kick at the can, him and Russ can be free agents and see what happens. I think if anything, though, this speaks to a bigger storyline, which is that maybe him and Russ didn't get along as much as we all thought.
Man, well, you know, now that he's on the Warriors, he doesn't even have to think about Russ being a good friend or not, because Russ is probably going to leave the Thunder next year anyways. You know, like,
that's true as well. But I just think that, like, if a lot of people around the league consider Russ to be the best player in the NBA, and I feel like that's fair. He's by far the best athlete,
mm-hmm.
but at times he's the best player. Just with the way he can impact the game in so many different levels, right? Especially on the offensive side of it. I think it's very sporadic that he's the best player, but I know a lot of people out there feel that he is by far the best player.
Hey, man, I remember...
Would you leave that if you were Durant?
Yeah, you know, okay. The issue with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook is that we all feel like Russell Westbrook has the ball too frequently.
Because he does.
And Kevin Durant has it too infrequently, right? Like, Kevin Durant is somehow the number two, even though, you know, most would consider Kevin Durant better at basketball than Russell Westbrook. So, if you're Kevin Durant, why do I continue to stay on a team where I'm the 1A to Russell's 1, and we're not the championship, you know, we're not a defending championship team, we're not really making waves to getting to the championship. Why would I do that when I can... He's probably going to be the 1A. He's still probably going to be the 1A on the Thunder or on the Warriors.
Nah, he's the 1.
He could be the 1 or the 1A. It doesn't even matter, dude. This
he could be the 4 if he wanted to.
Yeah, he could be the 4th dude on that team, and they're still out here trying to win probably every game. You know, like they could do just 82-0. They just never lose a game.
I could see that. I honest to God, if they decide to go for it, I could see them getting close.
They won't, though.
Like some stupid winning streak. No, they won't.
Especially after losing this season, they've learned. They'll consider it a lesson learned and just not attempt to do that.
This is true. Russell Westbrook is like 100% going to throw shade at them. You can just feel it. Guys are going to take jabs all year,
cool.
Like they did at LeBron.
Whenever the Thunder play the Warriors, Russell's going to just, like, destroy Steph Curry. You know he's going for, like, 30 or 40 points that game.
Who gives a shit? We saw him destroy Steph Curry for 4 games, and then they lost the next 3.
Okay.
You know, no, seriously, in the Western Conference Finals, he destroyed Steph Curry for the first 4 games.
That's true.
And they switched, and they put Klay Thompson on him, and then everything changed. Now they can put Klay Thompson on him, and what? They're going to defend Steph Curry and Kevin Durant? Good luck.
Yeah, they have the Thunder at this point have...
The Warriors decapitated the Thunder, man.
Yeah.
The only team that could beat them, they decapitated them.
Yeah, that's true. Like, the Thunder don't have a small forward anymore. And their big man position is... Like, their center power forward area is all messed up. Like, it's just...
Oh, yeah. You got Kanter making all that money now, too.
Yeah, Kanter is making this ton of money because of the Blazers. Neil O'Shea overpaying him, and then they had to match, so... It's a disaster, dude. Like, low-key, it's a disaster over there in the Thunder, man. I mean, they have young pieces, but they're not going to be doing anything serious anymore.
Probably not. And when you look at the Western Conference as a whole, who can really beat the Warriors? Seriously. Spurs, too old. I mean, we both read Zach Lowe's piece where he was saying that players were joking around, and executives said that the Warriors felt that there was zero chance in hell the Spurs could beat them in a 7-game series. So they may respect the Spurs, but they don't fear them.
Yeah, that's a little bit sad, man, because
Then who else is there? What, the Clippers?
yeah, that's it. That's about it, dude.
And they'll wallop them.
Yeah, that's really sad. That's, that was a good rivalry at least.
Yeah, we got like a season.
A season or two, and then the Warriors exploded onto the scene. The rivalry is now dead, but it was a good rivalry.
Like, the best series next year in the Western Conference playoffs is going to be that Spurs Clippers series. And the winner goes to get swept in four. Maybe three. Maybe they're just like short. But we've seen enough.
It was going to be the opposite of when it was a couple years ago when it was Clippers versus Spurs when we were like, when's game eight?
Yeah. That is not happening. If anybody takes them that far, I'll be thoroughly impressed.
The 7 games, man, I don't know about that. I don't really
I don't
think.
think anybody's capable. I don't even think the Cavs can.
You know what? The Cavs are, they're good. Like Cleveland in general, they're good right now. It's like, we won the championship. We're done with basketball for a bit.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Championship hangover, the Warriors sold out.
Yeah, we're done with basketball. We got the chip, we got one for the land. The drought is over. The curse is over. We're good. They're good for at least the next 10 years before anybody's like, ah, man, well, how come we haven't won a championship or anything recently? Plus, they even have the Indians, and the Indians are playing well.
Very well. Now all they need is to fix the Cleveland Browns, but that'll never happen.
So, yeah, as Cleveland, you're good right now. LeBron, I don't know what does this mean for LeBron, man?
What does it mean for LeBron? It means that he has to find a way to get his friends to come join him now.
So, the Super Friends, let's do this.
Don't even know if they can make that work financially.
CP3, Dwayne Wade, maybe a little bit of Carmelo.
There is no way CP3 and LeBron could play together.
First of all, CP3, I don't know what he would do because he seems to have like a Napoleon complex.
Yeah,
Bit.
he needs the ball, he needs to bark at you, he needs to play half court. He needs to literally play the way that he prefers to play. And LeBron's gonna get like he's gonna walk up to half court and be like, "Give me the ball, son."
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe no CP3. Well,
No.
more Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, what if Dwayne Wade just says, "Screw this, I'm taking a cheap deal to play in Cleveland with my buddy LeBron, and we're going to go at the Warriors." The hype would be
Yeah.
unreal. I don't think it'd be good enough, but the hype would be there.
Then you could probably get like a Carmelo trade.
Ah, no, don't do that. That's cancer.
But Carmelo for Kevin Love?
You think that'd work?
Carmelo for Kevin Love, and then you have Porzingis to play the center. You got Kevin Love there.
That's interesting.
You'd have to get rid of Joakim. Yeah, I can see that. That's a little ha. When I just.
Are we feeling, but like the vibe I get though is that you feel that the only way a team is going to compete with the Warriors is if somebody like the Cavs goes out and trades, what you just said, Carmelo for Love. So then you got Carmelo, LeBron, Kyrie Irving, and do they need one more? Like, let's hypothetically say a cheap Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, I guess. I don't. You have to build. At
Like, is that the only way they're going to get competition this year?
this point, you have to build another team that is competitive, and you need more stars. Like, they just have some. Kevin Durant and Kyrie. Or sorry, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry on one team is already, like, a recipe for destruction. But just the fact that the Warriors are so well constructed around them.
Well, yeah, exactly. As I say, because the Cavs can match that. We saw Kyrie can go toe for toe with Steph Curry, and LeBron Durant. I'll watch that 185 games in a row. I don't even care. I'll
Right.
watch it just nonstop. But who's taking care of Draymond?
Yeah.
Who's taking care of Klay?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah, there's
Good
just
luck.
nobody's. I mean, J.R. Smith on Klay Thompson.
Like they tried to pick at Kevin Love in this last series, and they got it with like open looks to Harrison Barnes. Those open looks are now replaced by Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's if he decides to be like the third or fourth option on the team and he just stands in the corner.
Let's say even if he's not,
And they would win the
that's
series.
Klay Thompson standing there. Like, no thanks.
Yeah, they would win the
Win this.
series. They would win the series. Just Kevin Durant literally just took all the shots that Harrison Barnes did. They would have won the series.
They might have swept them.
Okay, like that's all they need is just Kevin Durant to just be Harrison Barnes. That's all they need, right? But they're going to get so much more from that.
Which is just
So
terrifying.
if you're the Cavs, I don't know, you need to you either need to be like, yeah, we're good right now, and we're just gonna like just chill with the championship trophy for a year, and then just chill for the until this blows over, or you're gonna have to start building some super teams. Gotta get some Carmelo action. Gotta get some maybe some Westbrook. I don't know, man. Westbrook is gonna probably play a pivotal role in toppling the Warriors. To the Celtics, maybe.
Good luck. That's all I'm gonna say. I thought the Celtics too, but I was like, good luck.
Yeah, man. I don't know. The league's in trouble for real. I mean, if you're gonna think of this from like a competitive standpoint, the league is in trouble because the Warriors,
big time.
The Warriors do not look like a team that can be. That can be stopped at this point, and it can negatively impact the viewership of the league, just because everybody's going to think that the Warriors are going to win every time.
Well, I think on a bigger picture, the next CBA is going to be messy, but this is going to roll over in other sports too, because you're going to see teams, let's say like, I don't know, small market teams are going to be like, well, we're screwed. And then you look at other sports where players, like NFL players, have been bitching nonstop about the money that these NBA guys are getting recently. And that's partially the NBA players, you know, getting a great deal with NBAPA, what they negotiate the past CBA, and the NFLPA not getting one.
NFLPA is a deal. They get
it was terrible.
They get non-guaranteed contracts. What is that, bro?
Well, they're going to fight for that, obviously, the next CBA. Yeah. I would not be surprised if we see a couple of strikes coming in professional sports.
Maybe not in baseball. Baseball, they're good right now.
Yeah, they're good. Everything Chris in baseball.
They have no salary cap. Everybody gets paid whatever. It doesn't, like, the money there is just, like, just flies into people's pockets from seemingly nowhere, because viewership for that sport is not the greatest.
It's a traditional sport, right?
Yeah.
I mean, tough to sit there and watch for 3 hours for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you look at the NBA, though, this next CBA is going to be messy. Owners do not, these are billionaires we're talking about. They don't like being embarrassed. They don't like having investments where they feel like, well, wait a minute. We can't even win a title? Like, who's going to beat these guys? So why do I have this thing again?
Yeah, the Warriors somehow just became like the Barcelona of basketball.
Yeah.
You know? And they
kind of scary, dude.
Like, you know, the Barcelona has Messi and Neymar and Suarez on that team, and it's like, you know, there's a rival to that team. The Warriors don't have a rival. There's no rival team for the Warriors. That is like, you know, that's pretty scary for the rest of the league, you know. You can see viewership going down. Or it would go up, I would say, in the first season, just so people can see the team and then boo the team. But then
I'd rather watch the Globetrotters, man. Like, I feel like they'd be more competitive.
Not like the teams are going to, you know, franchises are just going to get crushed by the Warriors and, like, people just won't show up to the Warriors.
Well, because they're going to feel like, what's the point, right? We get to the playoffs and we're not going to beat these guys, so why am I following this again?
Yeah, exactly. So,
especially if it's in a town with another good sports team.
Yeah, and, you know, at this point, there's no real way to stop it, you know? Like, I can't think of any way for this to be halted. This specific scenario with Kevin Durant, it could probably be hindered in the future, but...
In 2017, when the new CBA gets together, I feel like things are going to get ugly.
They're going to say, like, you can't re-sign for what? Like, what is... What language would be able to stop Kevin Durant from joining the Warriors?
Well, you can't. Like, he's there, right?
Yeah.
Like, they'll lock him up, like, next year. But I'm saying going forward after that, teams will just be pissed off. And just if they have to lock out, so be it. They'll lock out for a bit. Because players aren't going to want to budge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's certain things that they've won in this past CBA that, why am I going to give that up again?
Yeah.
Like, let's take, for example, smoothing the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
The PA voted to have this thing exponentially grow. Whereas the ownership proposed the idea of why not smoothing it out, which would have helped prevent this.
Right.
And now because they got this exponential boom, they can go out and get players like that. So why are they going to go and smooth it out now?
Yeah, it's great. It's great for the players, but the franchises are just like, I don't really know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
The players are getting.
Maybe look at like maxing out players, man. Like the percentage that they can increase salaries, that'll probably change, especially for rookies. Like that's something that they'll definitely allow teams. I mean, we talked about this off the air where you usually hit your peak in like years 3 to 5, and teams can't max those guys out to where they would like to, so it creates this kind of false narrative of they could possibly lose them when they go, no, they're still in the rookie deal, like you could keep them. but you just can't sign them to a long extension that you would want to keep them at the cost that they want. So it becomes this give and take where the players are kind of like, well, I know I'm worth more money, but I can't give it to you. So I don't understand how they can keep these guys around.
Yeah, you know, man, I don't. Dude, there's.
It's messy.
Yeah, it's going to get crazy. I can't. You know, this. Yeah, you're right. There's going to be a strike for sure now that I'm thinking about it.
I just don't see how there can't be.
There's so many. There's so many floating parts now, especially with this move specifically, where the franchises and the owners are going to be like, how can I. How is it possible for me to be competitive against a team that has
a super team?
Yeah, it's like it's an actual super team at this point because they just won 73 games before, and they just added a player that is better than, like, you know, he's the second or third or fourth best player in the league. They just
in the league,
right, in the league, and they just added him to the team that won 73 games
with ease.
Yeah, and it wasn't even hard. Yeah, exactly. They just didn't re-sign Azili. They renounced Azili, and they just didn't re-sign Bogut. And that's it.
And now I feel like the counter side to that is if ownership is arguing about this, and you're the players, why am I going to... Wait. Why am I catering to you guys again? Like, I obviously had a choice to do these things, so... And you agreed to this in the last CBA, so why are we going to switch this around here? And then that's where the lockout and all the other disagreements will start.
Yeah, dude. You know, this is like a win for the players, though. This free agency
for sure
is a win for the players.
100%. Remember July 4th, 2016. The NBA change that day.
Independence Day.
Yeah, we won't we won't know it now, but looking in a few years, we're going to be like, God damn, that Durant deal was big.
Yeah, this is Independence Day 3. We should make a movie out of this. Bam.
A little other piece of news that we missed that is sad for me personally. Tim Duncan.
Oh. Is
I feel like this is how we close the show out, man. We close it out with Tim retiring. It's only fair.
Strong inclination to retirement.
Yeah. The big fundamental is about to, you know, go off in the sunset. I'm actually sad about this.
Oh, there's never been a time for me where the Spurs have been bad. You know, like
I'm not ready for that.
And
they're not gonna be bad. They're like the Red Wings.
They're not gonna be trucking bad, up. But they're going to take like a noticeable dip very soon. You know, with Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Duncan retiring. And
Boris Diaw getting traded too, probably.
Boris Diaw getting traded, you know, to get Pau Gasol. So I'm just...
never forget Boris. He was actually instrumental in their last titles.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, he was actually. You know, he's cult favorite.
Yeah, he is.
I am part of that cult.
So, I'm actually going to be upset if he retires, but all good things come to an end in terms of players and professional sports, so...
There'll be a next one.
There will be.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, that's actually a good one. I mean, people said Jahlil Okafor, but I feel like Cat's more comparable, but at the very least, thanks for everything, Tim. It's been an awesome, awesome time watching you play. Since Wake Forest, all the way up till now.
Yeah. I don't think, you know what, now that I said it, there probably won't be a next one. Not the same way that he plays. You know?
The constant professional, too, like on and off the court, it's just... This guy took the high road from day one and somehow has been able to keep doing it. I can't think of one bad Tim Duncan incident.
Yeah, me neither. I remember when he got kicked out of a game for laughing.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing he's ever done.
Yeah, that is actually the worst thing.
He has a psych degree, and then so do I, so psych degrees represent. I have a special connection to Tim Duncan.
Nice.
But he's gonna be missed, man. He's, you know, he's a great personality inside the league too. Seems like every player in the league who's met him loved him. And he pretty much personifies the Spurs as the franchise, you know. It's just like a quiet franchise. Constantly winning. Been winning 50 games for like the past, I almost like, it feels like for like their entire existence.
It does. No, it really does. I mean, since that 98 season when they won, it's felt like all the way since then.
Yeah, so, you know, he's just personified it and he's about to retire, so. I'm kind of worried about the franchise, but Pop is still there. Why is still there. Marcus is still there.
Danny Green, there's pieces.
But there will only be one big fundamental. It'll probably be, you know, people that are that seem like an iteration or slices of him, but just there'll never be somebody that's exactly like him. Unfortunately.
Not a chance. And I feel like with that, we should close this out because I just want to end it with Timmy D. I just feel like it's the right thing to do.
Hi, Tim Duncan. Love you.
I love you.
Yeah.
I love you, Tim.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this special emergency edition here with the Warriors assigned to take over the NBA. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can like our Facebook page at Tip of the Tower. You can follow Damar on Twitter at DamarJG. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. And as always, we have a fan out there who has been emailing myself and Damar with great insight and great comments. Always appreciate it. You can reach out to both of us by email. And if you click on the About section on our website, you can send us both emails. And we're always loving to chat with fans. So you can do that as well.
Yep.
And as always, please subscribe to the show on iTunes. We always appreciate the comments, any ratings, anything like that. Thanks for listening, guys, and have a good night.
With the first pick in the 1997 NBA draft, the San Antonio Spurs select Tim Duncan from Wake Forest University.
It is my pleasure to present the most valuable player trophy to none other than Tim Duncan.
Together as a team, and we do a great job and pull this one out. It's for all of them.
We saw at halftime all the people in your homeland. What do you think's going on down there right now?
Oh, they're going crazy. I couldn't even imagine. They're going crazy down there.
Timmy, congratulations.